believe it is impossible to predict earthquakes. Our next guest doesn't agree with those who say there is no way to tell when or where an earthquake will hit. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is David Nabhan, author of Earthquake Prediction, Answers in Plain Sight, and two previous books on the subject. He is the individual who is currently directing a worldwide public opinion campaign to impel the governor of California to convene the California Earthquake Prediction Evaluation Council to determine the viability or fallibility of the seismic safety plan that he proposed. David, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks in advance for the words with your audience. I believe Arizonans are going to find a compelling argument to be made in this segment.
You have a peer-reviewed scholarly journal that's going to be looking at your work, and it basically has to do with the possibility of earthquakes being triggered by lunar and solar gravitational tides. Do you believe that that is the case?
Well, to bring your listeners up to date, and there's probably a dozen dynamics that are being studied all over the world right now regarding looking for precursors to earthquakes. You're right about the sea change that has taken place. There's still quite a number of diehards that would hold fast to this tired old impossibility routine that has been trotted out in front of the American people for so long, but there seems to be a sea change. 10, 15 years ago, 5 years ago even, we wouldn't be having this conversation on the air, but gravitational tides, conjoined lunar and solar gravitational tides working in tandem and pulling in the same direction during certain episodes of higher probability episodes on the West Coast have, from what the data shows, have at least been an ancillary factor in all of the great quakes that have struck in Southern California between 33 and 94, between Long Beach and Northridge. So yes, I do believe that there's at least some viability to the thesis.
So you think there is growing, perhaps compelling evidence that we should take a hard look at this?
Well, your listeners and you yourself will probably, in the last 6 months, people, the hue and cry over the L'Aquila earthquake affair, for example. People all across the world are starting to let go of this idea that, outgiving an impossibility, proving a negative is an impossibility, and the fact that China, for the last 40 years, if you look at Asia, there's China, Japan, Burma, there are many nations on Earth that for the last 40 years have had organs of their federal governments dedicated to predicting earthquakes. So to assume that they're impossible, that this is an impossibility, would be to maintain the idea that physics is somehow different in Asia and the international dateline is a demarcation line between what we consider impossible and what the Asians consider impossible. And they've evacuated hundreds of thousands of people over the last 40 years, scant hours before earthquakes have struck. So, I believe that in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, people are going to look back at this episode of a whole century of imagining that this is a problem beyond our ken, and wonder how it was that ever came to be, because in my view it falls in the same category with the "if God wanted man to fly, he'd have given him wings" canard that the Wright brothers proved to be such a silly detour for humanity.
Well, I spent nearly 10 years in the Bay Area in the 80s and lived through some very big quakes, including the Morgan Hill earthquake that pushed almost 7 on the Richter scale, and that's one of the reasons I wound up in Tucson, Arizona, quite honestly. We could not get earthquake insurance for our home in San Jose, and it just seemed, after living through that Morgan Hill earthquake, that it was just too scary and risky to live over there.
The great earthquakes are not a soundbite that your readers could, that your listeners could latch on to and understand very simply. This is such a simple paradigm also. The great earthquakes that struck in San Francisco that you referred to in 1906 and 1989, one at dawn and the other at dusk, 504 at one, 518 for the other. The paradigm is dawn and at dusk during certain new and full moon dates. if you look at the when the conjoined gravitational lunar and solar tides will be pulling in tandem and exerting the most pressure on the fractured fault lines below, these would be moments when you wouldn't be guaranteed to have an earthquake, but the probabilistic dynamics show that if one were to look for elevated probabilities, there is where you would find them. And the six great quakes that I referred to in Los Angeles over the 20th century, all of them took place at dawn or at dusk, and two-thirds of them during new and full moons at dawn and at dusk. And then the two quakes in San Francisco, again, echo that same paradigm. And the greatest earthquake that ever took place in the history of North America, the great Alaska quake that devastated Anchorage, exactly 42 minutes before the precise instant of the fullest full moon at dusk on Good Friday at 5:36 p.m. So it goes up and down the fault line, and there's plenty of evidence at least to take a look at it. As I said, there are gravitational tides are not the only game in town. There are dozens of there's hundreds of scientists in thousands of places looking at all sorts of precursors. So, but for the West Coast, in my view, this is something that the governor should take a look at.
And of course, you're doing this public outreach campaign. Yeah, I was looking at your website. You've been on talk shows literally all over the world, haven't you, David?
Well, just day before yesterday, worldwide talk radio for popular science radio, and that's the point. See, it's now getting very mainstream. You're not a wild-eyed type, and neither is popular science, and neither are the people in Charleston, South Carolina, that I spoke to 4 days ago. This is middle of the country, middle of the road, mainstream stuff now. And I'm hoping that your listeners will go to earthquakepredictors.com. Just because you live in Tucson doesn't mean that you're not going to feel the next great earthquake that takes place in Southern California, where I believe the next seismic catastrophe is going to take place on the West Coast. Everybody believes that. Tucson will feel it and feel it strongly, economically, socially, culturally, and everywhere. You know, the Port of Los Angeles couldn't go down for 2 weeks without people in Tucson feeling it. So if people in Tucson want to weigh in and email the governor, I would appreciate that tremendously. Not saying that I'm right or wrong, just that it ought to be looked at.
Well, David, you really are on to something, and that was actually going to be my closing thought, the fact that we have had big earthquakes, believe it or not, here in Tucson, Arizona, 1887, an earthquake very strong enough to do damage at San Javier de Bac, the mission. And, of course, if there was and when there is a big earthquake, it's not an if, but when there is in Southern California, it will have a tremendous economic impact on Tucson because of shipments of freight and for perhaps people deciding they're leaving California and moving to Arizona. So there will be a huge impact. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, without a doubt. You'd have to be living in a fantasy land to imagine that Tucson would be, and any other community would be immune from it, but especially Tucson.
All right.
And the Southwest.
Okay, David, we're going to wrap it up with you again. Folks can go to your website,
earthquakepredictors.com, and my thanks also again, Bill. It's a pleasure to speak to Southern Arizona. It's a compelling argument that I hope your listeners will take to heart and make their opinion known.
Thank you very much, David Nabhan, with us on the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on the Buckmaster.